Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. It is International Plant Appreciation Day, according to our crazy calendars. But guess what? That's every day around here, so especially yesterday. Is anybody else as exhausted as I am? Did you take the day off from your regular work yesterday and work in the garden the whole day because it was so nice? Well, if you didn't, I advise that you do so today, right after the program, of course, or take us in the app and take us with you. Because guess what? We are booming. I am looking at long-term weather forecasts for our part of the world, zones basically 7, 8, and 9. I know y'all are listening in 6, you're listening in 10. Good morning, how y'all doing? But here's the thing. I'm focused here because this is where most of my world is. And as we grow to expand out a little bit, we're going to get a little larger with our footprint here for the Garden Mama Show. I'm looking forward to another busy, busy day. I'm going to make the statement that I probably shouldn't make, but here it is. I'm going to have the bed along the parking area of my property fixed. That means that I'm going to fix it. It's like, sounds good to say it's going to be fixed, but it's actually going to be fixed by me. Oh, goodness. I've got two things. I've got an old bed that was a strawberry bed for a number of years until it got too shady, but now we've taken out some of that shade, and I'm going to be able to put in the perennials that have multiplied all over the place. And the dreaded hell strip in front of my house. Lance, how do I get people to quit driving up out of the street? The street's flooded. Okay, brand new street, brand new drainage, street floods every time anybody says rain. And these people are driving up into the hell strip, onto the sidewalk, and occasionally running over my water meters in my yard to try and get out of the water. I don't know how to stop them, and neither do the police, apparently, because they keep setting up roadblocks and people keep driving around them.
Get some barbed wire.
Barbed wire.
Make you a little makeshift.
I don't think I can do that.
You're too sweet.
I am. I'm a little too kind.
I would sit out there and watch it if somebody tried to ride over the barbed wire.
I did video the people driving over my, I mean, they knocked over the, you know, I have a traffic cone on top of the water meters.
They knocked that over.
It's a beauty. Went right by. What a storm. And I didn't have anything compared to a lot of y'all. So that's just my only complaint, is that crazy drivers are driving me crazy.
They do me, too. But, you know, it's just the way it is. And the thing that gets me is the people that use bright lights when they're driving down a boulevard. And there's, you know, there's a whole row of lights.
Y'all don't do that.
It's like,
y'all don't do that, please.
You can't see right now. You probably should be driving.
Yeah, probably,
right?
Get somebody else to drive that day. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I don't know. That's a valid question when you have somebody jumping the curb, hitting
on a regular basis.
A regular basis. And, I mean, you know, you have such a beautiful new curb, too, and
the
sidewalk.
The good news is that it is, in fact, getting some attention.
They did a really nice job on that.
They did a nice job, except that they made the drain smaller, and they moved it.
Yeah,
so the
it
water
seems like
doesn't
there's
get
water,
there.
Though, now.
Yeah, the water doesn't
right.
get there.
Yeah, there's something that changed with the drain all that new great concrete work.
I have now whined enough. I'm going to let you know that Trey has weighed in this morning. Good morning, Grenada. I love this. He sent us a seed rack cartoon, y'all, and it will be, of course, on supertalk.tv. The Hate Thy Neighbor Seeds department is really tickling me. It's primarily like bird seed, and which would of course be the alfalfa and various other hulls that fall off of the seed, the bird feeder, and end up seeding up in your yard. But he's also got ground elder. I mean, these are things you do not want. I'm sure stinging nettle is down there somewhere. Nobody wants that. Ah, fun stuff. Fun stuff. This is a really pretty picture, y'all. This, the blueberries are blueberrying, and I really love this. It's a great question from Kathy. A close-up of my blueberry bush. Those green balls look too big to be blueberries. Can you tell me if they are? Yes, they are. They sure look like it to me, and that's what mine look like. I'm happy to say that mine are not quite that rounded up yet, but they are fully formed and pollinated and getting going. So, all right, now when you take a look at supertalk.tv today, you will see not only the recapture of my magnificent joy that I was able to get the phlox to come back after I thought it was dead, and, of course, beautiful pictures from what's going on this week in my world, from last Saturday, which was so much fun. A picture of Andrea and me at
get it right. You're the writer around here.
Right?
Come on now.
Can I say anything and it'll be okay?
I always get confused on that one. Which one is it? Because I hear it both ways,
well,
and then you get corrected both ways.
When it's with, or when it's when there's a preposition, then it's me, because it's the object of the preposition, and that's not the capital I. But if it is if you're the second person in a list, oftentimes it's controversial. For example, she and I, or she and me. People will argue about that. I've had editors that go both directions.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those that's quite
well,
not.
And sadly, there, because, you know, this is America. We all are entitled to our opinions. We have style books that tell us one thing. We have style books that tell us the other thing. So those of us who came up on
AP, I wonder when JT's going to come out with the next version of his words.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, I liked that first one, and the artwork in it was great.
Really terrific. Really terrific.
Pocket size. We
need more pocket size, clear, honest to goodness, how to use the English language.
I could use a refresher here and there.
Never, ever hurts, and we appreciate that. It's a great book. If you're interested in that, by the way, just let me know. I can put you in touch with the
author.
We
know that guy. Yeah. I've heard of him.
Somebody sent me beautiful pictures this week, y'all, of clematis. They're not as many as there used to be in my neighborhood. I had noticed that, and she postulates that the drought was the problem last year. Usually we see them there either on mailbox poles or lamp posts or something. They're very popular around my place. And I had lost mine a number of years ago because I messed with it too much, and frankly, we can do that sometimes. You know, move something too soon or move it too often or whatever it is. But at any rate, other pictures you're going to see today on supertalk.tv are, yep, that's right, Meridian. Hey, y'all, that was so much fun. That was on Tuesday at the United Methodist Church. We had a really good time with the XYZ Club, met some lovely people, and had a real good time. I appreciate that invitation, and it was just delightful to be there with y'all. Thank you so much. Well, now,
I was saying Meridian's happening. They've got a lot going on.
I kept looking at the radar. I wanted to stay at least 3 more hours. I had things I wanted to go see that I didn't get to do. So,
you know, their children's museum is great. The Max is amazing. The Riley Center.
Mum Guitars.
I mean, it's just go on and on. The Jimmy Rogers Museum. I mean, Red Clay Strays are playing there soon.
Yeah, everything. It's just a great place.
They have great events if you keep your eye. Just so, because this is a statewide listener base and folks do, you know, tune in from outside the state. If you're
103.3 in Meridian.
Yeah. Hey, outside of that region, if you're coming through Mississippi
this summer,
you need to check it out. Hattiesburg's like that, too. You hear a lot about Oxford and obviously the coast, but there are some
There's always things going on. There really are
some gems out there that folks, if you're listening, check them out. And I can assure you, the garden mama, she knows where the plants are, too. She knows where the pretty stuff is in these places. So
trust me. Reach out. We are so lucky. We have more growers and better growers and, frankly, a deeper plant palette than most any place else in the country. And there's just no question about that. I recognize that California might have more annuals, but when it comes to native plants and perennials and the things like that that we actually put in our gardens for the long term, We do really well with that in this part of the world. So nice. Let's see. Good morning from Macomb. Hey, y'all. Aha. I see y'all were talking about grilled cheese again yesterday.
You have to. I'm going to go to the grocery tomorrow. I'm going to try the Monte Cristo. I'm going to make my own version.
Oh, okay. I want pictures.
Tomorrow.
I want pictures.
I'm just going to go with straight up pretty good white bread. You know, a good cut of cheese, mm-hmm, American mm-hmm. or you know, type of cheese, and then
Red
a nice
hoop.
Thick cut piece
Red
of,
hoop.
Yeah, I'm going to go up to, probably go with like a boar's head or something, and then get a nice little cut of boar's head ham. I usually like it really thin, but I'm going to go
not
with a little, not for this. I'm mm-hmm, going to go with a little mm-hmm. thicker cut, and then I'm going to grab my eggs, batter up my bread, and then I'm going to have.
Y'all, we want the video.
Probably,
right?
I don't know if I'm going to go with peanut oil or what to fry it. I'm not sure yet, but
we do see that a lot.
What would be recommended? I don't want to overtake the flavor with the oil.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, vegetable oil is pretty clean. Then you got peanut oil that has a little bit more
There's
of a
more
richness to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious if someone out there who's fried a ham and cheese.
Who is the Monte Cristo specialist out here?
Knows,
let us know.
Because I'm pulling that
I know
one
what
tomorrow.
I think, yeah. but I've never made one. So.
I worked in a kitchen a bit, but I still, you like to know what people have done and they've kind of already mastered it.
Well,
I'm
sure y'all have talked about this, but one of my favorite things to do is to grill the elements and then put them together in the sandwich.
Oh,
and
no,
then
I'm
going to
cook the ham. I'm going to brown it up.
I mean,
real
I really think that makes a big difference.
Oh,
tomatoes do really
Take the
beautifully.
Extra step.
Tomatoes and onions both do beautifully.
I learned a really cool
trick. If you
trick.
Cook them a little bit first.
I learned a really cool trick with cheese. You know, if you can get it shredded, take it and throw it in the skillet, put a little oil and water on the skillet, throw your cheese down in a shredded form, and then put a metal bowl over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then let that
mm-hmm.
cheese kind of fry a bit, and then you can take the bowl off, flip it over, and then make your little square of cheese, but it's fried cheese almost.
That's
really excellent.
And that's one of those other steps.
Man, you know, it's an extra little stuff.
Yeah. It's another thing that makes it that much more different. For those of us who grew up with, you know, pieces of cheese in bread and that were then thrown in the oven or the pan or something and some basic tomato soup, you can still do that. I don't have any problems with that. But, wow, have we gotten fancy with our grilled cheeses and our tomato soups.
See, and that's comfort food for me.
It
My
is.
Mother was so awesome about the grilled cheese and the tomato soup.
Sure.
And we did that enough where it was one of those things you just look forward to. It's
sure.
like, breakfast for dinner. That was at least once every few weeks. My dad, I want breakfast for dinner. Mom, you're great. You know, it's like chocolate cake for breakfast or something.
Well, now see, at my house, that was when Mama had a meeting and Daddy made pancakes for dinner. We had breakfast for dinner.
Dad's like, we're eating steaks for every meal.
Everybody's got a way of going at it. I'll say that. That's for sure. I will say that I have blooming tomatoes. I'm proud of that today. Maybe some of y'all are doing that as well. I'd love to hear the weigh in on the tomato progress. The squash have not died. That's all I can say. They're growing.
Yeah, somebody said the other
They've
day.
Not died.
Oh, it was Commissioner Burl Kane. He was talking about the inmates and what they were growing. He goes, "Well, we grow a lot of squash because squash is easy to grow." And I'm sitting here and I'm like, "What? What did he say?" Come on, Commissioner, don't make me feel so bad. go up and see what they're doing.
We all hit things, you know.
Oh, and there's something I connected. I wanted you to know I would like for us to reach out to them because they're growing a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And he said he could get us some imagery and things to share as well.
I love
well,
That'd be fun.
I would love to see how they're doing that because it's really cool. As we've talked many times about the value of gardening, say with Alzheimer's and different types of therapy that's
good for everybody.
Well, I mean, in thinking mm-hmm. about the rehabilitation and the incarcerated.
What we're all looking for in this world is a pat on the head, you know, for whether it's your mama, your daddy, or your teachers or whoever it is. We're all looking for that affirmation, as it's called now. I call it a pat on the head, but it may not physically be a pat on the head, but it's that kind of, you're doing okay, you're doing good. The plants will give you that. You don't have to have another, and you may not have had people that did that for you in your life, and you may not have even done it for yourself, which is another piece of the puzzle. But if you grow plants and you do what the plants need done, which is pretty easy to find out in most cases, my squash record notwithstanding, but there are so many opportunities for success whether it's seeds or starting a cutting or planting a plant and watching it grow. There's just, you know, seeing the beauty of mulch, how it prevents things from wilting. There's just so many things that you can do in the plant world that are affirming, that are positive. And after that, you know, it's nice when people tell you that you're good, but once you have a strong sense that you can actually do this thing, it translates into other things. It translates into the way you feel about other things. It translates into the way that you act about other things. You don't have to believe me. The Menninger Clinic has the entire world of horticulture therapy for you to go read about. So, but I'm telling you, there's a reason we do this, and it's, our mental health is part of it, and we are smart to garden.
Yeah, and if you're an Ole Miss baseball fan like I am, Rhino was so kind enough to leave me the inflation
just a little
has
tease
increased.
For the afternoon.
Yeah, I wanted you to, inflation has increased 31.28% since the last time Ole Miss won a baseball series against Mississippi State. So that's why you garden.
That's right.
You turn it off.
Keep yourself sane for a while.
I went out and yesterday it was even dark. And Ole Miss was playing so poorly. I went out and started admiring how beautiful these roses are.
Aren't they lovely?
Oh,
these are doing great.
They are.
Well, and that's the whole point. We all have to have a balance.
Balance.
We all have to have a balance. That's absolutely true. This is marvelous. Pineapple plant. Look at you go. How fun. This is really great. I would tell you that this does not look like a pineapple plant, even from the top of the pineapple. But the plant looks fine. I think there's another picture somewhere, and we'll get it in a minute probably. How about that? But we will remember to ask about pineapple as the morning goes on. The main thing you need to know about pineapples is that they are bromeliads, and so they grow like the other ones do. They make a vase-shaped plant with long, spiky leaves that you keep water in the vase as well as in the pot. Not a lot, but just enough for it to keep growing. And then eventually it will put on enough leaves to create a flower stalk, and that flower stalk will be a pineapple. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you got some good images coming in. I hate to open them before you get there, but I was anxious.
I can see that. Yeah. They're beautiful. Paula, bobtail cats. Oh, my goodness. All right, I was going to wait, but I'll tell my cat story. So, y'all, for those of you who know me know that I inherited a couple of cats, and one of them has since passed away, but the other one, who is about 12 years old by now, doesn't really have much to do with me. Her person is no longer in the world, you know, in this world. She's alive, but she doesn't live here, and so she's not in the cat's world, and the cat's kind of standoffish. Well, the cat got sick. Who did she come to get to the vet? She came to me. She slept with me last night, Lance. First time that one has done that. Usually I'm sleeping with cats every night, but last night it was only her. I think we've turned a corner. She might even know my name by now.
Yeah, she's going to expect that now.
Well, that's okay. There's
room. Yeah, one-on-one time.
She's tiny.
One-on-one.
You know, there's room for that. Stick around. We're almost to summer. It must be. We're in the city.
But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, if that's all night. Just like the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Cashback is not available on gas.
From the dark end of the street to the bright side of the road, we've been lovers once again.
Well, I have to say, I think Andrea wins. Tulip Clusiana, for y'all, those of y'all who don't know Tulipa Clusiana, she is the Lady Jane tulip that is prized because she does, in fact, perennialize in the south part of the United States in well-drained soil. This is not something for clay. You have to amend the bed and, you know, do what you need to do to have a good, well-drained bed. But it is the one that that we all hope for, and she's got it blooming right now. Now, you will also always hear that that thing blooms in mid-March. It doesn't. It blooms whenever it wants to. And in this particular case, it bloomed this week, which is really very cool because sometimes they don't, they'll end up waiting and waiting and waiting and put up one or two flowers very, very much later on, you know, than you expect. Some people call them one of the Easter plants because of that. But, you know, Easter changes the date with the lunar calendar as well, so it does change from time to time. But beautiful, beautiful, glad to see it. Similarly, I am tickled about Janice's Clematis in New Albany. Really good, good growth on that one. Lovely, lovely, lovely. So pretty. I have to tell y'all this. We're at the point where we need to be opening windows, and it's not just because we can. I'll admit the heater kicked on. House got to 65 degrees this morning at about 6 o'clock or something, and it did click on for a moment. It'll be gone. It's going to be 80 degrees at my house today, probably not 80. I'm going to go with 79. They say it'll be 80. Aren't those plants beautiful? Those are trays, I think. Supertalk.tv has given us the real fond International Plant Appreciation Day slideshow today. Thank you, Lance. That's wonderful stuff. The University of Surrey is letting us know that, in fact, opening windows. This is so duh. There's a whole bunch of stories today, and this is not stories. This is research. These are things that have been reported on in scientific journals because they were studied specifically to learn to prove a theory that either proved or didn't prove. You know, but opening the window is a good thing. Okay, now I realize that that's not always true. Air filters are a good thing. They're always a good thing. But opening the window to improve air quality in classrooms, they would like this particular study, after taking a look at 7 or 8 different kinds of approaches to this thing for how to clean the air in a classroom, they would like for there to be air purifiers indoors during the day when the students are there, and then open the windows to air it all out after the students leave for a period of several hours. I don't know what that does in terms of the maintenance budget of the school, but in interestingly enough, almost 8,000 schools in the UK, well, in England, not even the UK, just in England, are in locations where the air pollution actually breaches the limits that are set on it by the World Health Organization. So the mayor of London said that they're going to put that they have 200 schools designated there in the city, or in the city and the surrounding areas, that they're going to put in air purifiers. But alternating air purifiers with open windows is the better way, apparently, until the air pollution gets to a certain level. And that's what they're arguing about now, and they'll probably be doing the next study about. But the alternating between air purifiers and open windows really did reduce classroom pollution by more than a third. That's pretty good. Because let's face it, all those youngsters breathing and carrying on in one room, you know, different sets of them all day long and different, you know, classes during the day, that's really a lot. And I'm glad to know that somebody's worried about it. This, to me, is really the perfect time of year to open the windows. I don't leave them open all night. I have to admit that, not just because it's cold, but because it's a security issue. And also because my cats tend to open the screens if I leave the windows up too long. But security one direction or the other. But there's really a good opportunity to be had for bringing in some air from the outside, particularly when it is so beautiful as it is right now. Ron's in Ocean Springs, they have yellow and crown squash. It's tomatoes they have no luck with. Well, we've all got something. we've all got something. He says that they get lush dark green and full of blooms, and then they start wilting away. he's in Ocean Springs, so that is a slightly different season than most of us. His tomatoes in Ocean Springs at this point, had he been working on these, should be bearing fruit, okay, or getting really, really, really close to it, having fruit ripened at this point, because it gets so hot so soon. It's also true that when weather fronts come through and are consistently rainy throughout a period of time, it's very difficult for tomatoes to set. And like, for instance, last spring and this spring have both been that way. So it's a question of what's causing them not to work. And if it is a bacterial wilt, or if it's a wilt that they're getting and you've already moved the plants from place to place, I agree with you. Grow squash and go to the farmer's market and get some tomatoes. We don't need to fight with them. It's kind of like me and the squash. I'll try a little bit, but I'm not ever going to be a squash grower again. I will say that I think the reason why some people are successful with it when I'm not is because it is a plant that just tends to do better. Even the small varieties that are intended for containers don't do as well as the container, as like crookneck squash or straight neck squash that you would plant in a garden bed in that's up on a row made for that. They use a lot of water, they use a lot of fertilizer, and they can't have their feet wet. So it's another case where you got to strike that right chord. And sometimes it rots. And of course the part, if they can't pollinate, they don't have the chance to produce. But if the two things are in there, and there's also the problem of the rot. Okay, the early planting has that other problem. I could talk to you about the ways that I know folks who grow tomatoes on the coast and how they do it, but it is different in different places. Sometimes a mulch will help that is plastic. Sometimes it's absolutely terrible to put down a plastic mulch because the place just stays too wet. Sometimes it's a matter of, it's not even so much variety, I don't think, but it may be growing method. Growing a little bit leaner sometimes works better in those situations where you know they're going to be leafy. Too much nitrogen can cause that problem. But the wilts themselves and good old-fashioned, you know, early blight are still problems. Still problems. Oh, good. Y'all take care of that. Old potting soil. Paula, that's such a great question. How did you know what I was doing this week? One day this week, I was out with all my containers to see who had anything alive left in them. And some of them were, frankly, some cannas that I was trying to get started, but I started them. I got them too late and planted them too late. They got droughted out in the early fall. Then they got really, really wet through the winter, not to mention freezing for a little while. And they're just mush. So I have all that soil. What I do with it is I don't ever let it be more than about maybe 20%, 15% of a new batch of potting mix. But I will do that. That's why sometimes when you see something that I've planted or potted, it'll have a piece or two of leftover green fertilizer or a piece or two of maybe some perlite in it, when I don't actually use those things very much, but those will come in from the old potting soils. So, yes, I want to use it. I also will use it as long as nothing has, you know, caused a problem. If it's been really, really weedy, I might clean that out first, of course. But if it's just been a good container and something's finished growing in it, or frankly just died like these cannas did, then I'm just going to take it in and put it into the bed. The bed that I'm building this week is going to have a lot of old potting soil in it. But it already did have some, and now it's going to have more. It also has 2 years of old leaves that I have allowed to rot in there, and I've got to turn that over. But it's going to be a beautiful bed once all of that's finished. Right now, the Lespediza and the other weeds and things that come up in there are doing pretty well. And I do have one fire ant mound I got to get out of there. But that won't be a problem.
It wouldn't be Mississippi if you didn't have a fire ant mound.
There has to
somewhere.
Be a slight chase going on somewhere. If my neighbors would do something, I wouldn't have nearly as many, but they don't go in the yard as much, shall we say. Great minds do think alike, Paula. Thank you. You're right. I got to tell you, those kittens are just hypnotic. They're so cute. Good grief. Oh, my goodness. That's why we end up buying calendars with pictures of kittens on them, you know, because they're so cute. Nothing about it. They're just cute. That's all. I had some great questions this week, and they formed the heart of the Garden Mama Weekly. I will get to those eventually today, but one of them was about planting some shade on a structure, and I suggested a hog wire trellis or something of that sturdy cattle panels, that sort of thing, because if you're looking for an evergreen vine that's going to make shade and stay that way all the time, you're going to have a structure that can support it. And you may have to give it additional support until it gets completely covered up, but you've got to give yourself enough space for the vines to be able to grow. Chicken wire tends to sag. Obviously, hardware cloth is too close together, and sometimes you just really need to go for the heavy duty wire and attach it to the posts of the building itself. On the other hand, if you need some shade but you really only need it in the summer, just toss up a trellis and plant some morning glories or plant the exotic love, any of the ipomeas. That whole family grows fast, does well, and makes beautiful, beautiful vines really quickly. I had another suggestion this week for the tater vine, or as it's also called, monkey balls. I'm not encouraging people to plant those anymore. They have escaped in Florida and are now a pest plant. And as conditions warm up, we're going to see more and more of that escape. That causes a problem because they take over areas. And the big heart-shaped leaves are just beautiful, but you can get those off of morning glories, and they're not going to be pernicious. They're not going to keep getting in your way. Okay. There now. Oh, I think I have to depart from this. These kittens are like Lay's potato chips. You can only have one. You can't only have one. No, you have to only have one. Maybe two. Oh, no,
you
got to
have
three.
All of them.
That's great.
You have a neighbor that had 42.
Oh, dear.
Or roughly in that number.
Oh, dear. No. Eight at the neighbor's was too many for me. Just too many. What about fire ants? Yeah, that's a real good question. Here's the deal. There's a lot of arguments about fire ants right now, and I get all of it because I get, I'm a sustainable person, so I get why do you use fire ant products that are not sustainable, because sometimes the sustainable ones don't work. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But when I get to a serious problem, I will use the more noxious products, and I say that with all honor and respect to them, because I'm so allergic to fire ants. If a fire ant bites me today, I'm going to have a sore and a spot that's going to swell up, the size of a quarter, and I'm itching thinking about it. But because I've had them so many times, and I'm not in good shape when it comes to fire ants. So that's one reason. But it's also because when I had children, I didn't want them to be vulnerable to it, and other small animals, for example. All small mammals are very, very vulnerable to particularly vicious fire ant mounds. But what I found to keep it down to a reasonable population is that if we treat the property and then treat the mounds, when they flee the mounds, they end up getting to the bait and getting baited anyway. So I do appreciate the Texas two-step. That's essentially what that is, where you treat the yard and then you treat the mounds. The bait products are different. There are several of them. They work well. The mound control products are good. They work well. What doesn't work is cornmeal and grits. What doesn't work is hot water. I mean, you can, for instance, if they pop up in your vegetable bed and you want to run them out, you can pour hot water on the mound. They'll jump out and go make a mound across the yard that you can then treat. That's certainly one thing. But it's also true that you don't need to be putting hot water out in your flower bed anyway, or vegetable bed, either one. But the fire ants are a big deal, 42 is way too many. It's true. All right, go. That's Patricia. That's great. Good news. Good news. We'll talk more about her good news. And even Paula agrees that 42 is way too many in the cat department. Whew, I got to think about that. Meanwhile, Go look outside. It's a beautiful day. Stick around, though. This is the Garden Mama Show.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. Your wish will never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
St. Louis brought the world gooey butter cake. Now Bluebell brings us gooey butter cake ice cream. A cake batter ice cream with a luscious cream cheese swirl and gooey butter cake pieces. Mmm, it's the gateway to the best in pints and half gallons.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Greatness.
Well, let it rain, let it fall, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got them big ribs. Let it rise, let it fall, let the waves make the shore, 'cause I got them big river blues.
I hope that you're getting yourself in the big garden mode, because, yeah, we do occasionally get the big river blues around here, and with the amount of water at my house in April, May doesn't look too good. It's going to be interesting to see how this runs.
I mean, I guess if you're a fisherman, the Pearl looks, you know, amazing, but outside of that, it's the big river blues.
I think it's swolt. It is something right now. And that's really part of how we live. There are other places I've mentioned before that are good garden writer friend of mine, really good scholar, as a matter of fact, wrote an article for the Journal of the American Horticulture Society, which has to do with drought. And she surveyed, she lives in Southern California, she lives in a world of drought. And she is, in fact, a specialist in xeriscaping, which is the gardening that goes on where you don't have any water. And believe you me, it's not easy, but she's really good at it, and beautiful, beautiful gardens. So she interviewed me and asked about drought. And one of the things that she said, I talked to her about our experience here and how we are. She talked to people around the country and wrote a really, really good article about it. But here's the deal. She said she was surprised to find out, frankly, that drought varies from place to place. In other words, because we are so accustomed to level A, let's say, of water, when we don't have anywhere near that, whatever that is, each area goes into drought. And so her area has to have a whole lot less water than us in order to be in a drought, because they're already living in an unwatered situation. Just an interesting way to look at things. We have an abundance of riches, an abundance of resources here, and sometimes we don't take advantage of how good it can be. That's why I'm trying again to grow squash. But anyway, the Brussels sprouts are Brussels sprouting. I got to tell you, I think these may end up being T90 because it's going to be 80 degrees for 3 or 4 days, and they're probably going to stop growing. But at least I got them to do their thing. The onions are beautiful. The garlic looks good. I don't think that we're going to have an early harvest on either one of those, but I do continue to cook with a lot of green onions, and I'm happy to say there's 4 different kinds out there, and they actually do taste different from one from the other. Somebody said the other day, you clearly did not have COVID if you can tell the difference between a shallot and a leek. And I said, well, I didn't, and yes, I can. So there you have it. Ooh, Nandinas. What a great question this was. Nandinas that are maintained in the way that we really hope that you do, of course, and that is to cut out the oldest of the canes every year or two so there can continuously be new ones coming up, generally speaking, maintains a stand of Nandina forever, practically. In this case, the plants have been there more than 40 years. But the temperatures last summer, the drought in the fall, both stressed them terribly, and they did not really start growing very well this spring. That is just the picture I have to tell you, the picture of these particular Nandinas looked like the Nandinas at many other people's houses that are in full sun with very little water and not too much attention. But these had been well taken care of and were previously a very bushy hedge. So if you have that circumstance with Nandinas or with boxwoods, really, or with any hedge plant, at this point in time, I don't want you to go start cutting down the canes of the Nandina, and you certainly wouldn't cut anything off of the others unless they were completely dead. But if you can do this, you'll be well served to get yourself an opportunity to do two things. First of all, get a bag of compost manure, or if you have a bag of just of composted manure, either one is fine. Spread that underneath the Nandina, and if there's a row of them or a row of the whatever it might be, hollies or some other shrub, spread it out underneath all of them. In weather that is hot and dry, if the plant can't get its water from the roots deeply, it's going to start trying to put roots out at the surface level in many, many cases. And in this case, we want them to be able to be fed by some compost and manure. So at that point, you do that. Then you put on a shrub food, flowering shrub food, evergreen shrub food, whatever's appropriate. Then it's real simple. 1 inch of mulch. Ground bark is my favorite, and it's going to work well for this circumstance. If you are growing hollies or some other thing like that, you can certainly use a pine bark. You can use a hardwood bark, whichever one you want, and then a soaker hose. Now, this sounds like a lot, but it's really not. A layer of manure, a layer of regular fertilizer, then a little mulch and a soaker hose to make sure you can keep it wet for the next several months, no matter what the weather does. I've always said that if you do this, it almost entirely predicts that it will rain exactly 2 inches every week and you won't have to use it. But if it's not there, you do need to use it. And you can repeat this process again in June if you don't see enough growth. That rejuvenation really is not hard to do, and a lot of things need it.
Well, and you mentioned hollies twice. I'm listening, so I did put in the hollies bumper.
Okay.
Yeah, for this hour. I'm listening.
I appreciate that. And the next hour's music is terrible, so you can play
good.
Anything you want.
And yay.
Our computer throws things at us that we don't like.
Garden Mama usually gives me a list, but we were deep into conversation today.
We were rocking this morning, had other things going on. You know, here's the deal now, y'all. There's so many cool discoveries and cool inventions. I said everything's in the duh file, but not everything is. One of the pieces that I'm always fascinated by is things that you don't expect to be used for any sort of scientific research, and yet here we go. You've seen the drinking bird toys. You've all seen the one where the weight knocks their beak into the water, and then when they're full, it pops it back up. Those are very cool toys. They impress people. They're fun. I like a bamboo fountain that works on the same principle, you know, that same sort of basically just gravity principle. Inspired by the classic drinking bird toy, however, folks at in China, in Hong Kong and Jiangsu, have developed an engine that converts energy from water evaporation into electricity to power things like, my cell phone, stuff like that, small things. I love this. The energy output exceeds 100 volts, much higher than other things that generate electricity from water, and it can operate for several days using very little material, that is to say very little water. This is publishing in the journal Device, which I think is great. The Drinking Bird Triboelectric Hydrovoltaic Generator, and you know that I told you this because I wanted to be able to say that out loud on the radio.
That's a $10 word.
This is so cool. Think about it. You could have the cute little drinking bird effectively. It wouldn't be the drinking bird, but it's the same kind of mechanism, and it's going to run your small appliances. It's going to run your phone. It's going to, you know, give you enough power to get from point A to point B. That's great. That's a very cool thing, and I appreciate that they did that. The toy itself, of course, has to be modified for this, but not a whole lot. They did a pretty good job putting it to work. My thoughts, let's see. Kathy wants to know on reusable grow bags. I like the idea. I've used a couple of them. Are they a safe organic way to grow sweet potato slips? Well, I'm not sure. I actually am not sure. I can see how you would start them that way, but they're deep rooted. And so depending on how big the reusable grow bag is, they might go right through it. They might poke everything right through it. Oh, my goodness. Any rate, I'll think about that. See if I can reflect a little bit in the next hour. Stick around. We're going out of here. All the Hollies. Hello, Graham. We'll be back.
She's face love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it. Wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it. By August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the...
It's a big job keeping a whole planet fed. More American producers are turning to the fuel that gives them the power to do it, propane. With lower costs, cleaner emissions, and greater reliability, propane can do more around your operation better than any other fuel. And with an abundant supply made right here in the U.S., you're helping America stay energy independent. We've got a world to feed, so let's get to work in a clean energy revolution. Energy for everyone. Propane. For more information, visit mspropane.com.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, welcome in. So glad that you decided, you know, you've got lots of choices in this world. We were talking about silos this morning. Everybody's got their own little lane that they get in and they see and hear what they see and hear. We're so glad that you put Garden Mama and Lance in yours. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, mentioning that, it's funny. I got a notification like a day ago, and I left it up because I think it's funny, but it's from Tubi. Yeah, mm-hmm. The TV, mm-hmm. All the free movies. It says, you've started 23 titles, but haven't finished them. Is this the day?
Is this it?
No, it's not. No, it's I guarantee not. You it's not the day I'm going to finish those 23 titles, but that's my little silo.
You need a sleepless night to yeah. be able to get through
yeah,
some
yeah.
of
it's like,
them.
There's probably 12 minutes left on all of them. You
well,
know?
This is like the book stack next to the bed. Okay, I don't even know which one in there. Mm. You know, but somewhere in there, there's another day someplace in there, and it is very much that way. I'll just tell the truth. I'm in the midst of having a discussion with Trey online about self-rising flour, and I got to say, his biscuits look better than anybody's, and I knew they had to be self-rising flour because that's when they come out perfectly. Now, argue amongst yourselves, because everybody has a point of view about that. You know, not everyone likes that. I like it. I think it's great. Anyway, oh, by the way, it is, it's Thomas Jefferson Day. I don't know if that means it's his birthday or what it is, but it's a day when we are to reflect upon some of the things that he said. He said a lot of things that, his garden, for one thing, at Monticello is among the best historic gardens because they wrote everything down, and they continue to write everything down. So that is one of the places that we in the world of horticulture are looking at to see how bloom times are changing, how the period is between X and Y, you know, is taking longer and or less time for things to happen. And we can do that because they have such great history there. They also have wonderful seed collections, by the way, if you're interested in that.
It is his birthday, April 13th, 1743.
Okay.
This day was actually originally recognized as part of Presidential Proclamation 2276 on March 21st, 1938. And then in 2007, George Bush issued Proclamation 8124,
good heavens,
stating that the day will commemorate Jefferson's birthday and that the nation shall cherish that forever.
And so we don't have the day off, but we're supposed to plant dianthus because that was one of his favorite plants. So that's a good one for us. In matters of style, he wrote, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. I've always liked that one. It does what it means is that you can't stick your head in the sand. You have to pay attention. I think it means that. You have to pay attention to what's going on around you, but you don't have to necessarily compromise your core.
No, you got to have a backbone, and
you have to have a backbone.
Stand for what you believe in,
but you also have to see what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
So, otherwise, you're in that silo. See, we're back to that. You know, I have been to gardens that look like that. They look like nobody had ever brought in a plant from anywhere else because they were such an intrinsically personal collection to that individual.
It's like 400 different carnations.
Just wild, yes. Nero Wolfe's orchid greenhouse. You know, it's more things than you can possibly even look at. But that's part of the joy of it. You do get to pick what you want to grow. And Trey and I are not growing self-rising flower, but we are thinking about it. Brian says it is a beautiful day in Biloxi, and he's right because he's got Louisiana iris blooming. I love that he knows these as ditch iris, and that's true. They do grow in the ditches, but I have seen them this particular one does not look like anything but a good old-fashioned Louisiana iris, which would have been a development from a bog lily.
Yeah, it looks
from a bog iris.
I've seen them. I'm glad he mentioned ditch iris because that's where you do see them, and they do seem to spread quickly down the water lines. Like you could start here, and then down the water line in a few years,
right,
you're going to have tons of
that's
them.
That's right,
and they're beautiful cover, and the yellow is just remarkable.
In this particular case, the one that you think of on that water line for me is actually the flag iris, which is a bigger flower than this, but it's a more solid yellow, and it has a little bit different character to it. When the flowers are, as this one is, quite flat, and obviously it's three-dimensional, but the base of it is a flat base. It doesn't have so much falls. It has a little bit of stuff that falls off the edge, but not like a bearded iris does. And in that case, they're so beautiful to me. I will tell you this. If you pick Louisiana iris for the vase, be sure it's the outdoor setting, because after about 12 hours, you'll think somebody didn't clean the cat box. They give off a really obnoxious.
They're not in the floral sense.
We don't grow them in the cut flower world.
Right. You don't see them ever in a bouquets of flowers.
Lots of irises, but not this one.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Well, I transplanted a bunch of irises from back in the woods, and I think it's going to be a white one.
Nice.
But, I was hoping it'd be the purple, but I have seen – I can see inside the sheath a bit and can tell it looks white. There's no color. I'm hoping it's going to be a pretty one, though. This
could
was
be
a,
lovely.
But
yeah.
Out of the three pots, and I did want to ask you this, they all three seem to have grown, and the bulbs have taken. Everything looks healthy. But I only have one nice long stem with a flower – bud at the top, that wants to open soon. The other two, though, are not producing that stalk with the bud.
They have leaves, though.
They have the leaves. They're beautiful. I think one's getting a little more sunlight than maybe the one that has the bud. Mm-hmm. And my curiosity is, how do you get it to stimulate bud production in those irises that I have transplanted? Because obviously they want to. But
this is the first year since the transplant?
Yes.
It'll probably be next year before they put on a real show.
Mm-hmm.
But they do like a little bit of there's it's not really a fertilizer thing, but they are gonna they don't like to be left alone too much. You can either plant them in a group, or you can. But what you're trying to do is to make sure that they're getting the water and fertilizer that they need throughout the season, mm-hmm. because that puts the bud on for next year.
Okay.
If you find that they absolutely don't, then you may need to lift the plant itself a little bit. You may have buried it too deep in the soil. And in that case, sometimes we suppress the flower buds that way.
Okay.
But to get one flower in the first year is pretty good.
I was proud of myself, honestly. You know, it's so funny how the front yard looks versus the backyard. Yeah, I mean, the front yard looks like, you know, a botanical garden.
You know,
and the backyard looks like Hawk's playground.
I was going to say, I think Hawk has a little something to do with that, but he'll grow up.
Oh, he's awesome. I can't complain. It's
a
treat.
He's a beautiful dog.
It's an absolute treat. So it's no complaints. It is funny, though, to see the difference so stark.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
going from, I would think, the Sahara into sub-Saharan Africa, where you hit the jungle and it's this luscious green.
At this point, I'm doing pretty good on my back piece there. I have a lot going on. The front looks like nobody's weeded it in 6 months, and they haven't. That would be me. And it's getting a little crowded with some other plants, but I'll spend a few days there this next week. When you don't go but 2 hours at a time like me, you know, you have to kind of pace yourself. But I never actually gardened since I turned 50 anyway. I intentionally slowed down on how many hours I'm willing to put myself out there simply because my recovery time got a lot longer and I have other things to do, like, you know, write a book or do a radio show. I don't know. Take care of the cats. Ah! Oh, by the way, the kitten. I have discovered that the kitten that lives in my garden has a he is probably the most egotistical cat that I have seen recently. He is a lovely cat, and the person who was responsible for him kept attempting to put a collar on him so that he would make noise and not be quite as good a hunter as he has turned out to be. Well, he ate the collars right off until he put on the red one with the bow tie. It has lasted more than a week. The cat likes his bow tie. Now, come on, y'all. To start calling him Wally Cox or something. Oh, these are beautiful. The Clematis Paula, these are just gorgeous. These were taken during the eclipse. We didn't even talk about that. It was pretty cloudy at my place. We could see a little change there in my neighborhood, but not a great deal.
Those glasses were junk, too.
There's still some in
man, here. Man, I went to that one in Memphis years ago, about 5 or so years ago. And I will tell you that their glasses were way better than, and that was, I just was like, wow, what are these things? I put them up, I couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you
mm-hmm.
just couldn't see, I don't care how, I put them up against the light and couldn't see through it. It was just like, what are these things again? Man, somebody must have got sued after the light, you know, 5 years ago.
There were people taking the new glasses and putting them up to their iPhone and shooting pictures, not looking at it.
Oh, no, yeah.
And some of those pictures were beautiful, but mm-hmm. they said most of the glasses were.
Well, there was a spike in Google on the search of on the day of the eclipse, during the eclipse and for hours after it, even into the next day, there was a spike in the search of this specific terminology, and it was, why are my eyes burning after I looked at the eclipse? Like, it went from that didn't even happen on Google until all of a sudden there's hundreds
Everybody
of thousands and millions of people. Why are my eyes watering? Why are my eyes burning? Was that a bad idea to look? It was like did you not read anything or hear anything or see anything? Come on, man.
Did nobody ever tell you?
Yeah, did you not know that looking at the sun with your glasses on is not a good idea? Apparently a lot of people did it, though.
Well, then I would say, because it does take a little while for the damage to set in, that if you are an ocular specialist, you may want to study up on retina damage because you're going to be seeing some. That's what that's all about. Not that our retinas get damaged anyway, but that is a particularly impressive one. Now, I will say the best part for me of the eclipse was looking at the coronas, looking at the flares coming out of the corona in pictures. I was not staring at the sun. But I really thought some of those things were pink. I mean, they were just beautiful, really. And then, of course, you get the big ring thing when it finally gets tight. But just beautiful stuff. I had the chance earlier in life to see one that was a little bit more pronounced than the cloudy space at my house this week. But anyway, just an interesting thing. Oh, Brenda says, hi, what is this flower? That flower I love that flower. In fact, I was just looking at some of that flower and wanting some more of it. There, it's blooming at my house at this particular moment, too. This is, in fact, Gladiolus byzantinus, or the Byzantine gladiola. It is an old-fashioned, it's a heritage plant. It's one you don't see necessarily in every bulb rack or in every collection of perennial plants. Mine came from a place in the neighborhood that the neighbors, that they had moved out and everything was being turned over and put into a dump truck. And someone called me and said, "We have to rescue the gladiolas." So we did. And I have one clump. So sometimes that's how we get pass along plants, as they are called, as we pass them along from one to the other. And it's a good one. It's a great flower to have. Does a beautiful job of brightening things up in the springtime. I like it. Really pretty. Really very pretty. Nice, nice. Thank you for sending that. I really am glad to see it. Well, I don't even know. What in the world are we going to do with ourselves? We human beings are, every time we fix one thing, we found another thing that we got to go work on. I guess that's what keeps us interesting as humans. But trying to figure out what to do about the microplastics. You know, we've seen the reports for the last several years that they're turning up in fish and they're turning up in turtles and they're turning up in other places that we would not want microplastics to be. And the news does keep getting worse, as this story tells us. But they've been looking for alternatives in some of the work at the University of California, San Diego. And really, they're trying to find replacements, but they haven't had very much success until now. And now, thankfully, they've started using algae-based polymers, which is a whole other thing. The algae world, by the way, y'all, is going to turn into a huge source of us for both nutrition as well as some medicinal purposes. And in this case, I'm really glad if they can get it to be microplastic, it's not going to be the environmental problem that microplastics have been if we can make them out of algae-based polymers. I realize we need all those things. Well, some people say we don't, but I'm willing to say that we do. But the problem is that they don't break down and they end up everywhere. So now we've got to figure out, first of all, we've got to reduce the amount of time it takes for the microplastics themselves to degrade. Right now, the range is anywhere from 100 years to 1,000 years. We need to tighten that up. But indeed, finding other products that can do that is much, much better. Much, much better. Yeah, Paula, you're right. That lighting was gorgeous. The flower color just pops. That's really beautiful. Hey, Joe. I hope Madison's looking good today. I see your fig and the brother in Mobile. I love this. This is great. We've got his brother's fig tree and we've got his fig trees. All right. I'm sure the pots limit the size, but my brother's doesn't grow into a tree or fuller. Also, what's the best fertilizer? Neither one of them grow very many figs, and they were rooted from their father's tree in Clarksdale, so they really want to keep these things going. Yes, they do need fertilizer, and the one in the yard at your brother's place, it needs weeding badly. It needs to get that grass and stuff out from around the base of it and put in a ring of mulch under it. Put on, and both of you need to use a fertilizer that is made, frankly, for shrubs or trees even, something that is going to be basically a full-line, complete fertilizer, that is, that has micro and macronutrients, but that it has, for example, an analysis of something like 5-10-10. That's not going to be what it is, but something that where the nitrogen is lower, but there is still some nitrogen, okay? And that's going to help get the growth going. Keep it watered if the weather turns out to be crummy for that. Figs can hardly get too much water, but we do keep mulch around the base of them just so that because their roots are so close to the surface, we need to get that grass out from around it, then put some mulch around the base of it and keep it that way. Keep it out to the drip line of that little canopy of that little tree. Keep that mulch there. And that will help a lot. Really nice looking. I love the leaves, though. These are just beautiful leaves. Y'all are going to do fine. some fertilizer, attention to water, maybe a little sun here and there, you know. A little more sun than they're getting perhaps would make the leaves a little bigger along with the fertilizer. I like it, though. Go grow those figs, Joe, and keep them going. I love heritage plants, and this is truly one of them, from Clarksdale all the way to the coast. All right, now, I believe we're being serenaded by the one and only Mick Jagger this morning. We'll be right back.
Dogs begin to bark. Hounds begin to howl. Watch out, strange camp people. Little red roosters on the prowl.
Sammy the Shovel here for Mississippi 811, reminding you that April is National Safe Digging Month. The leading cause of harm in residential areas is underground utility damage. And while pipeline operators and other underground utility companies are committed to raising awareness of underground damage prevention, homeowners have a responsibility to ensure safe digging practices too. Mississippi 811 reminds you to call 811 at least 3 working days before any dig to ensure your DIY project is done safely. Listen to Sammy. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
I bet you there's somebody here doesn't know who that is. Y'all know Little Feet? If you don't, go find them. They're fun.
F-E-A-T.
F-E-A-T.
Yeah, they are fun. I mean,
which of course, if you want it in today's vernacular, it means no big deal.
No big deal, but it is.
But it is
they
a, big
are
deal.
A big deal.
They are a big deal.
And how many people covered their music too? That
Everybody.
You don't know who the original artist. You, I love that song. I wonder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they a lot of covers in there.
Lots of that. They set a standard in the same way that a few other bands did. That you hear them more in the what has rippled out from them than you ever heard from them. So.
Well, and they have great produce pictures on their old videos. It's like, you know, cutouts of a cardboard clipping,
yeah,
and then they their videos are really funny to
dancing
me.
Dancing Tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah, it's Dancing Tomatoes. Yeah, you can't beat those guys.
You gotta love that. Mm-hmm. Angela from Cortland, I can't tell you what this flower is, and I'm gonna tell you why I can't tell. The flower is a little bit, the picture is a little bit blurry, but I can't tell which leaves go with this plant. So if you can isolate one flower stalk and the leaves that are attached to it and send it to me, because this could be somewhere around snapdragons, but it could also be 3 or 4 other things, but I can't see the leaves. So let me
and
see.
And you're talking
that.
About the pink one, right?
I'm talking about the orange sharp.
Oh, got it.
The
let me
sharp
put that
picture.
Up there. There we
yeah,
go.
The sharp one. That one.
There we go. Because we had a couple that were like, what is this?
It's lovely. That's lovely, but I can't tell you exactly what it is because it's just the picture itself is a little bit blurry on my screen, and it's also because I can't tell which leaves go with the flower. I can't zero in on it. Okay? Nice. I love this. I'm sorry you didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sheila. We have a lot of people that got hurt on that ice in January in my world. Talking to you. Anyway, Sheila's getting better, and her dianthus are doing beautifully despite her. So I think that's great. Beautiful Japanese maple in this picture, too. The only thing that I would say is that you get somebody to throw some mulch out there because it's going to get hot, and those dianthus could really benefit from not getting quite as hot on any one given day. But that's just beautiful. Thank you so much for keeping on going. See, that's the thing. When we do some gardening, then even if we've got a broken hip and we have to recover from that, we have a lovely thing to look at. And in this case, these dianthus are just beautiful. I don't think we grow enough dianthus, whether it's these, the large leaf ones sort of, or the real spiny leaf, excuse me, that always looks to me like quills. They aren't, but that's what they look like. And those are pretty.
Isn't that a movie with Jeffrey Rush, Quills?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a good one.
excuse me.
I think it was about the Marquis de Sade.
Well, you would know. You would absolutely know.
Yeah, like I said, I have 23 movies I haven't finished.
So. See, you don't know how it comes out. That's funny. All right, now, this is a beautiful, beautiful iris, deep purple. This is the one that Lance wants. This deep, deep purple thing is just gorgeous. I will tell you that there's a house near me that isn't exactly occupied, and right now there's a big purple bearded iris blooming in the space that isn't really in the yard. It's just kind of out there. Oh, if the streetlights weren't so bright, I would be out there at midnight one night and liberate that thing. It's pretty. Just beautiful. Really lovely. How nice. Y'all have got some gorgeous things. Here we go. Let's see. The flowers are not wisteria. Paul's in Mobile. Okay, I'll take a look at that one. I have to climb up in the computer and try and see that. Could it be American wisteria? I don't know. I can't see the leaves on that one either. Here's Angela sending up a little bit more. This is one of two things, and I will look it up. Sheila agrees that it's her therapy. We all believe that gardening is our therapy, and it is, because that's what keeps us gardening some more. It also keeps us, frankly, from focusing on the many things in this world that are tough. Okay? I'm going to just tell you this. A lot of y'all are young. Believe me, when you get old, there's a lot of tough stuff. But continuing to move and keeping on growing makes a big difference in how you end up with it. I like this other quote from Thomas Jefferson. I believe that every human mind feels pleasure in doing good to another. I think that's true. So share a plant with somebody today. It'll help you a bunch. Gosh, that's pretty. That's really, yeah, I got some gorgeous things. Really, really pretty. Today is a day for me to pull more weeds, and somewhere out there I've got to turn over the compost because it's starting to be really lovely from the bottom. I have to get some of that out in order to keep building the bed that I'm building. Y'all think it's so crazy that I want to compost everything, but I got to tell you that it's absolutely the case that there's more to be done. And I hate to talk about my neighbor, but I will. When we put the bags of leaves or the pile of leaves on the street for the truck from the city to come and get or from the waste people to come and get, either way, we're throwing away stuff that's valuable. And then if you turn around and go and buy bags of fertilizer, you're really throwing away money because you could have made most of it. You still need some fertilizer from time to time. But in terms of the garden or the yard itself, the flower beds, they can get a whole lot what they want from that old leaf mold that you just let rot behind the garage and turn it into compost. You don't have to do anything to it if you don't want to. You can just leave it alone. It will rot on its own. That's nature.
Yeah, but other thing, you're paying people to pick that stuff up, and then they're paying somebody that's making money off of it, mm-hmm. and then they turn it into a product that they can make money off of.
Or they're throwing it in a landfill, then we have to pay for.
You got to pay for. So, I mean, if you can, it's just that little stuff, like you're saying, that, you know, catching some water here and there, making your own mulch, doing these things that you don't have to spend as much money, but you may have to take a few extra steps.
Well,
and it makes you feel good.
We all have 24 hours a day, okay? We're all going to be doing something. And there's a whole lot worse things you could be doing than composting and gardening. Trust me, there are a lot worse things you could be doing. Oh, my goodness. That's great. Thank you, Paula. Oh, that's pretty. Sheila sent another picture of her dianthus. They're so gorgeous. I love that one. And in fact, some of the dianthus that we grow have been grown in this part of the world since Thomas Jefferson at Monticello. The particularly this quill type, they're just beautiful, just lovely. Oh, that's so sweet. I will let you know, Joe. I don't have anything right now. Nothing on the calendar right now. Anyway, speaking of the Duff aisle, I'm kind of obsessed with this. These are the things that if I had realized I could be occupied by writing a grant for somebody to study, I probably would have, except it would have made me laugh when anybody brought me the proposal. What five factors do you think it takes to help an infant thrive? Not just survive, but thrive. Did we really have to do a study for this? Yeah, I guess we did. Washington University in St. Louis. Obviously, when babies arrive in the world, we would like them to develop healthy brains and have really good development, which we have landmarks for, both behavioral and cognitive along the way, right? Okay. Well, the Thrive 5 is what we now have, and I presume we will see posters for this any minute. Okay, so just watch for them. Environmental stimulation, that means play with the baby. Okay. Nutrition means pay attention to what the baby is eating and what you're feeding the baby. Neighborhood safety, you may not be able to do quite as much about that, but you can certainly join the neighborhood watch group or be part of the organization that runs your neighborhood. Positive caregiving. What? Okay, we know what that means. But wouldn't we presume that babies need positive caregiving? You know what that means, of course. You don't shake the baby, and you don't leave the baby in a wet diaper, and you don't act a fool. You take care of the baby with positive things, okay? Regular circadian rhythms and sleep. That's so hard. It's hard to impose it on the baby, and the baby has a real hard time developing it themselves sometimes. But it is very, very important. I recently read a story that said that people in their 70s, people in 60s and 70s, tend not to sleep as much. And then when they get in their 80s, they tend to sleep more than they did on average in their life. No one knows. That'll be the next study that they do. I think it's because they're 80. I don't know, really, but that's going to be the next thing that they talk about. When y'all look on supertalk.tv, don't miss Trey's biscuits. This is the self-rising.
They're glistening with butter.
Flour biscuits.
Man.
Business. Isn't that lovely?
I'll back it up one just so.
Just
yeah,
gorgeous.
We got to see that again.
Just gorgeous. We need a breakfast sponsor, and it can't be Trey, so
yeah, I mean, this is a breakfast
After
show.
All,
come
you
on.
Know, there's people drinking coffee. So, anyway. Oh, my goodness. This is a tree. Yes, I can tell that it is. I was just making that joke because sometimes we look at wisteria blooming in a tree, and it looks as if it's not the tree.
The little pouches are forming on the wisteria now. They've got a bunch
Bitch
of little beans
mm-hmm,
and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff's like velvet on the outside.
I think that this is an Empress tree. Look that up and see if you agree with me.
Okay.
Empress. I think that's what that is. Thank you, Sheila. I hope this week goes really, really well. I don't know if there's a variety of this one. I'll look that one up. I'll look and see if I can tell you. There are sometimes our native trees, native plants, we will have an improved variety, and sometimes we don't. So I'll have to look and see about that one. I also wanted you to know that a couple of varieties of Japanese maples that I'm intrigued with. Everybody knows Blood Good. I think that's the big one. You may not know the name of it. And no, it's not named because of the color of the red leaves, although it's pretty close. It's named for Blood Good Nursery, which is where it was developed and who first released it into the world for us. But the other one that I wanted you to know about is Adrian's Compact. In the same way that Wheeler's Dwarf Pittosporum is the exact same plant, just shrunk, you know, just smaller. Adrian's Compact is as dark and brilliantly red as Blood Good, but it is a smaller plant. It tends to be shrubbier looking because it's only going to be about 6 feet tall and probably 4 feet wide, so it has a different shape to it. It still has a tree form. It grows from a trunk, but it's a shorter trunk. Usually by the time that the thing fills out. So I really like those two, and I wanted y'all to know about them because they really do help us put more of these plants into our gardens. Orangeola is looking really beautiful. I don't know what I'm going to do because it is absolutely it's absolutely trailing the ground, and I hate pruning it, but I'm going to have to do that. I can't raise the pot. It's just too heavy. I would need more equipment than I have, and it would probably break. So I'm going to worry about that. But if you've got, like I did, you have a few dead branches in that Japanese maple, this is a great time to get out and trim them, because if they haven't leafed out by now, they're probably not going to leaf out. And you want to get that dead growth off, same as you would want to do with native azaleas, the same as you want to do with even gardenias, things that have never leafed out for maybe last year or this year, is really the stuff we're talking about getting off now. They're deeply woody, those the pieces that are still sticking out to the top. So do a little bit of a scratch test, make sure, and then give yourself the opportunity to clean them up. Not only will the plant look better, but it will grow better. It will have less to support, and it'll have the opportunity to support, really, frankly, a better situation. And you might even get some flowers. After the flowers, for example, on things like gardenias, you can go ahead and shape the whole business. But if you just get the dead part off now, that will give you a better spring and summer. That's what I can tell you about that. Okay. Oh, some of these things, y'all have such cool things going on. We're looking up that. I do think that's Empress Tree. No, Princess is a different one. I get my royalties confused, but look up Empress Tree and see if that's right. Empress. That's what it looks like from this distance, and they have such dramatic flowers. They're really lovely. There's one of those in my neighborhood right now, in fact, blooming too. All right, I'm trying to figure out Angela's plant right quick, and I'm also going to look up this the cotinus and see if I can pick a variety, but I don't know. Let's see. That's an interesting thing. You don't talk to us too much over here, but I appreciate having you in today, because you know what? The world is full of people. The world is full of gardens. We got the best ones right here. This is, in fact, the best part of my week, and probably yours too. Tell me a little bit more about what's going on in your garden when we come back from a little moment with the master himself, Tom Johns.
And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away,
ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gonna stay. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish.
Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama wasn't working on a chain gang. A mean, vicious woman.
Ah, the controversy. Really eat this stuff or not? That's always the question. The answer is yes. But here's the deal. Don't pick the poke salad along highways. Get off the highway. If it's along the highway, it's been sprayed with stuff you don't want to eat. Not to mention that it has collected all the air pollution that cars and trucks going by can deliver to it. But get over on the other side. Get over by the river, you know. Get out on a little rise over there.
I'm glad you appreciated that. That's one of my faves.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
When I ate poke salad, I had never eaten chard before. And later on when I ate chard, I thought, well, why didn't they just say that stuff? Because it's almost the same thing in terms of its taste, somewhere between chard and mustard.
Yeah.
It's a little brighter than chard is. But it's one of the forager's favorites.
Yeah, and it's one of the most covered songs, too.
Everybody's
covered that song. Tony Joe's the man, though.
At one point, I wanted to do that one over and over again because there's so many versions of it, and Summertime Blues.
Yeah.
There are about 50 different versions of Summertime Blues. They all kind of fit.
And they have to be. You have to live in the South if you have the Summertime Blues.
Oh, yeah, because, you're not going to know about that.
Yeah.
You know.
If it's 72 degrees somewhere, it's not. You don't have the blues, I promise you.
Trust me.
You think you do,
but you don't. We're all very happy about that.
Oh, and I want to mention to our listeners today, thank you. I think we've had 2 weeks in a row where we've probably had 30, 40 images. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for your questions. I know Guard Mama loves seeing them, so she can answer the questions more specifically. And thank you very much for that. Y'all are doing a great job, and everything is blooming.
It's really beautiful
right
now.
Rejuvenating and inspiring.
You know, one of the things that we all really hope for are that the flowers that we want to turn into fruits and vegetables will. And in the case of the blueberries, for example, that we saw early this morning, they're doing a beautiful job of that. In my own garden, I'm still trying to take down the Possum Haw grapes because they have overwhelmed themselves. They didn't make last year. Well, this year they're already making, which is way earlier than one would expect. So they do have a new home and they will get there. But the point is, when you see things that are doing well like that, take care of them a little bit. Take care of just a little bit in the springtime will give them so much more oomph all the way through the year. Even if they're not blooming, you're trying to build the plant. So give yourself both of those things. Talking about smoke tree, this was a really good question. Which cotinus do you like? The smoke tree that we see blooming, you've just seen fringe tree bloom, okay? If you've seen the native, you follow the native tree progression, smoke tree comes up pretty soon. And it's cotinus or cottonus, as it is called some places, but it is, I believe, actually cotinus, Kojigeria. And indeed, that is the species. That's the one you're going to find most places. And it's a beautiful tree. But if you can find any developed varieties at all, the one you're probably going to find is called Royal Purple, and that's because it has a darker color to it, and it is lovely. But that's the only one that is really, I think, of. There are a few other named varieties, but I think that's the only one that is likely to be available in a broad area. Why do we care about this? Because improved varieties oftentimes have a slightly better shape or a little better growing habit. There's been something about them that the original grower of the tree chose to propagate that they liked a little better than the particular tree. And in this case, it's the flower colors, leaf colors, too. They're both a little bit bolder. But the other thing to understand is that this does not change how you need to take care of things. You can plant native trees. People say, oh, plant native trees, they'll be fine. They still need to be cared for the first 2 years because they didn't germinate on your property. You know, you dig up or you buy a native plant and put it at your place. Yeah, it's going to adjust better. It's going to adapt better than most other plants that you would put in. However, you do need to give it the advantages of a couple of years of good attention, the pruning if necessary, water, fertilizer, those kind of things. The good news is you don't have to overdo it. We're not trying to push these. We're just trying to get them established. I saw this week someone putting in some Hypericum, some St. John's wort, in the Brookhaven area, sent me a note, and did I like that. I love that plant. I love all of those, but I particularly love the fact that they give you yellow flowers in June, maybe May, but somewhere in the later part of the springtime anyway, and that is, to me, their biggest advantage. They're lovely. They're nice little plants otherwise, but having those flowers at that time of the year always gives me a little boost in the garden. I am happy to tell you that there are a lot of things you can do right now. You may not have thought about this. If you're, for example, you've got clovers or you've got other weeds that, quote unquote, weeds that are growing in your lawn and your lawn is beginning to grow green up, this would be the time to set that mower at a high height and mow off the flower heads. But if, for example, you're with our friends in Ocean Springs and your lawn is already greened up and going, this could be the time, if you need to do some spot treating of weeds that have given you a little more trouble than others. That, in turn, tells you what you need to do for your lawn. Things will, the weeds will predominate because the lawn conditions are not terrific. So it's a fight, and you're trying to get the lawn grass to win. Quite a lot fewer, actually, of the false onions in my front than I did last year because I drove myself crazy pulling them out. And I'm going to use that opportunity to tell you that physical removal is always the place to start. For example, if you have poison ivy growing up a tree, don't go grab on that vine and try and pull it out the tree. Cut it off at ground level and let it wither away on its own. Then you've got poison ivy that can be treated at ground level that you can get to, first of all, and secondly, that it will have new growth on it very shortly that is much more vulnerable to anything you're going to do to it. I don't care whether you're burning it, pulling it, spraying it, whatever you're doing, it's going to work more effectively. And, yes, I did say burn. I'm a big fan of the propane torch in the garden. I'm not talking about the one that you use to cook your steaks. I'm talking about an intentional tool that is made for gardening. Take a look at it. You might be glad you did. I certainly was glad when I found them. They're really neat. Hey, garden mama. Oh, that's nice. Hey, Vince, that's nice. Interestingly enough, though, what are they and can they be grown from seeds? I don't know what they are, but they're pretty. I'm stumped. They don't look like tulips, and they don't look like any of the other spring flowers. I would say call the grocery store and ask them what it was and then tell me because I want to know too. I would have said tulips, but they don't look like tulips. I mean, they look like tulips, but they don't. So that's two today that I have to further look up. If you will send me that photo to mamaonair@yahoo.com, I will blow it up, get it really, really tight in focus. Actually, if you could take another one that was just one, that would be even better. And I will do that this week for you. You can see what I do during the week. I stare at the computer for as long as I can, then I go work in the yard, then I come back in and stare at the computer as long as I can, and then I go back and work in the yard. Life's not bad in the springtime for me. Summertime's a little tougher, but springtime is pretty good. I like it. Pretty fun stuff, y'all. Y'all have been great today. As usual, we have dozens of images, dozens of questions, and thankfully, each one of y'all represents a whole boatload more people. One last piece of knowledge from the Duff file. Did you know that chimpanzee mamas play with their babies even when they're not nice? Well, duh. We all better, hadn't we? Yeah, come on. We'll even play in the garden when it's not nice, and we'll come back here next week and do it again.
SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too.
With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, this is
a Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.